I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Live from the Investors Bank studio of Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Gio on the Fan and simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. Good Wednesday morning. Boomer with the day off. Jerry Recco in for Boomer this morning. Good morning, Jerry. What's happening, man?
Greg, what is up, dude? How are you?
I'm doing well, and I know you're doing well because it's Manny Machado Day.
Yeah.
Here in New York, as Manny Machado is visiting the New York Yankees in his free agent tour, and these guys love doing this stuff, but I would do the same thing. If I was one of these big free agents, I would go everywhere and get hosted by these teams, see my face in the uniform, my whole Jumbotron experience and the lights and the pampering and all that. I'm going to milk every second of that, just like Manny Machado is. And it's funny how all these teams, like the White Sox and the Yankees, they're hiring people that would help them land Manny Machado. Like the White Sox go out and get Yonder Alonso, who's his brother-in-law. The Yankees hire Carlos Beltran, who's got the same agent, and they got a relationship. So it's like, everybody wants Manny Machado. That's not a bad thing. You also had Brody yesterday on the Fan and also during the Wilson Ramos press conference say that the Mets are the NL East favorites. Internally, we would argue we're the NL East favorites. Well, when you say it externally, everybody's going to talk about it, Brody.
It's not internal anymore.
Right. You're going to learn that fast. But Manny Machado, a New York Yankee, do you think it happens before Christmas?
I think it's possible, but I don't know that he's going to end up here. I really don't, because everything you read is that the Yankees are not going to offer this mega deal of 9 or 10 years, but could offer something in the way of 5 or 6 for a lot annually. I would love to see it, if for no other reason, entertainment value with Boomer every day. It'll be tremendous.
Yeah.
And he's a hell of a ball player. I mean, when you get past all the nonsense, the guy's a great player. I think he'd be a great fit. The Yankees would become a traveling, well, they already are, but even more so. Do you imagine that? If that team would boast Judge, Stanton, and Machado, forget Sanchez and all the other guys, just those three alone. That's an all-star middle three. It really would be amazing if they did it. I know the haters would come out, well, it's the Yankees being the Yankees with George. Fair enough, but it would be a blast, and the baseball would be amazing.
Yeah, I think that sort of came back last year with the Stanton deal, where the Yankees are back being the Yankees. Because you remember how, quote, sort of lovable they were the year before?
Yes.
They didn't have that sort of evil empire feel, and then when they go out and get Stanton, that sort of came back. So, you know, adding Machado certainly would add to that, but I don't think it would be a flip like it was from 2017 to 2018. And it almost feels at this point, if they don't get Machado or Harper, and Brian Cashman has been adamant about being out on Harper at this point, but if Machado goes somewhere else and he feels the pressure to do something, that may change. But if they don't get one of those guys, it's going to feel like a boring offseason for the Yankees. Now, it may end up being an okay offseason and a successful one, and maybe they go farther than they did last year when they ran into the Red Sox in the ALDS, but when you're the Yankees, you got these two guys out there, all these names are being floated around, and you just come out of it with Paxton and maybe another bullpen arm or two, you're going to say, what the hell just happened here?
It is funny, though, when you think about where the Yankees were last year in terms of the playoffs, their win total, they were the upper echelon of baseball. I mean, they're a damn good baseball team that we talked about all year, to the point where you said they're boring because they win. Remember, in the middle of the year, you're like, it's kind of like a boring season. They win a lot. They're really good. They're still chasing the Red Sox. We know they're going to be in the playoffs. And yet you go out and you get James Paxton, and we're still like, all right, not enough. Now, the Didi injury, obviously, that's part of it. But there's still a team that's going to score a lot of runs. You upgraded the pitching with Paxton. You're bringing Hap back. Yeah, there's questions with the number five, but everybody's got questions. You're not going to have an ace 1 through 5. You're just not. And I think the Yankees pitching is as good as anybody's in baseball. But you're right. If they don't get that big prize, it'll be like, that's all they did?
Yeah.
And they still should win 100 games.
Yeah, probably. Absolutely they should. And I do think, though, that if Machado comes, then you're going to see a trade for a pitcher as well, because you can't have Didi Gregorius, Manny Machado, and Miguel Andujar on the team at the same time because there's just not enough playing time for those guys with the situation that you have in the outfield with the DH.
But I don't think you need to make a trade now. I just don't because, you know, you've got a guy in Gregorius. He may not be back until August. It's not like they're saying, you know, maybe the end of April, early May. Brian Cashman said June, July, August. And, you know, when you talk about how was a Tommy John surgery, I know he's not a pitcher. I understand it. But you need that arm from shortstop. You can't just hustle him out there or rush him out there. If he's not ready, he's not ready. And I think you're probably safer rather than sorry. I would think at earliest, you're talking mid-July, and I think that shapes up perfectly for a trade to be made along the summer.
Yeah, in a perfect world, absolutely. But how awkward is that, right? So now you've got Miguel Andujar there at third base, Manny Machado at short. You know that the questions are going to be asked to Andujar. All right, so when Didi comes back, what happens? You're going to get traded. Sure. What's going to go on? I mean, is that something who's had a successful, a great rookie season? Someone in his second year, is that going to be something that he can handle? You know, basically like you're on this team until you get traded at the deadline for a pitcher when Didi Gregorius comes back. I mean, I think the human element has to play a factor in that.
I agree. It's awkward, but at the same time, what's the alternative? I mean, if that's where you're at and you know that Didi's not coming back, I honestly don't expect him back until August.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's not like he's coming back mid-May and you're talking to this kid like, you know, in 6 weeks, you're going to be out of a job. It's possible Gregorius doesn't even play. I mean, it's not likely, but wouldn't stun you with an injury like that and surgery like that. So, yeah, awkward for sure. Yeah, hope the kid deals with it as best he can. He's dealt with the media for his first year, dealt with it well, learning English. It's a tough spot, but you're playing in New York. You're playing for the Yankees. It's kind of part of it.
Yeah, and hopefully he understands that. And some of these guys are wired a certain way where it doesn't mean a thing to them. Like, I'll either be here or I'll be somewhere else. But then you see other guys like Wilmer Flores, who's playing for the Mets, not the Yankees, who's crying when he thinks he's going to get traded. So his guys do get affected by that stuff differently.
Let me play devil's advocate with you, though. Let's say they brought Machado in, and let's say Andujar is having an amazing season. Gregorius is a free agent after next year. There's no assurances that he's coming back anyway. If Andujar is having, let's say the defense has improved a little bit and he's still doing offensively what he did this year and he's gotten even better, who's to say that Gregorius comes back and he walks right into a starting role again? How about Didi? You're our guy off the bench to finish out your Yankee career. I mean, I don't think it's as cut and dry as, you know what, if we get Machado, got to move him. I don't necessarily know that that's true. And I know he's been rumored and I know he's been out there and I get it. But to me, I wouldn't rush into any type of move like that. I just wouldn't.
Yeah, so he would be, I think it's 2020 that he's an unrestricted free agent, right? So you got the full year, right? So you got an arbitration year and then I guess the winter of 2020. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
I thought I was actually another year squeezed in there. So I do think Didi is very, very important to this team and this clubhouse. And when
Didi carried them in the early part of this past season.
And you think about, right, before he went to that horrendous slump there for a while, which was crazy. But some of the discussion points that came up last year during the season was there's no real leader on this team, especially when Aaron Judge went down. Where's the leader coming from? And when you don't have Joe Girardi and Aaron Boone is the manager, this team is lacking that element. And I always said, well, what about Didi Gregorius? I mean, this guy, you know, his tweets after the games, always the interviews and the happiness and the positivity. I mean, I happen to think he is a great part of what the Yankees core should be going forward. But, you know, and that a Manny Machado signing would change all of that. And it's just absolutely amazing how this business works sometimes. Not that we're not jaded to it because we've been around for so long. But think about, you know, Didi. Lauded, that trade was lauded and how important he was to this team. And here he is going out there in a playoff series with torn ligaments in his arm, hopping throws to first base just to be able to help this team beat the Red Sox. And then all of a sudden, you've got this injury. You've got a guy like Manny Machado out there. And we're talking about Didi Gregorius coming off the bench in his final season as a Yankee and then going elsewhere. It's just amazing.
It's possible. And I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm just saying I wouldn't be so quick to make a move right now if that indeed happened. And we're going above and beyond here because Manny Machado hasn't even gotten to Yankee Stadium yet today, and we're talking about the Yankees signing him. I ultimately don't know if he'll end up here. You know, again, if he really wants the 10 years, I don't think it's going to be here. The question is Chicago, and I haven't, you tell me, have you seen the offer from Chicago yet? Is it out there?
No, it's not.
But would you be stunned if the White Sox were a team that did offer the 10 years and the $300 million, or if the Phillies went 9 or 10 years and the Yankees were offering 6 or 7? You know, you can say what you want. It's the New York Yankees. You know, you want to win, this is the place to be. more times than not, it comes down to who gives me the most money and the most guarantees, and I'm sure the opt-out and all that, so they have the control. You know, we would sit here and say, I know Al and I have had this conversation many times. You want to go play for the Yankees? You want to go play for the Colorado Rockies? No disrespect to the Rockies, but you get the point. And while on the surface you would say, Yankees, it's the New York Yankees. But at the same time, if the White Sox offer 10 years, $300 million, and the Yankees are offering seven for 210, you'd be damn sure he's going to go for the $300 million over 10 years.
Well, I know it's a long time ago now, and I feel like I'm dating myself with this reference, but Mike Hampton. Wasn't that the classic example, Mike
Better
Hampton?
School system in Colorado,
yeah,
he said.
Bull crap, more money. Yep. And also, he wasn't a New York guy. He wasn't wired that way, and he didn't want to deal with that type of pressure and that type of lifestyle, so he went out there. I mean, yep. It was a perfect landing spot for a guy like that. He was over $100 million, which was really expensive back then in 2001, whatever it was, when he signed that in the winter after the 2000 season. So yeah, no, I know. I think that we sometimes, it comes down to the individual. There's some people like Manny Machado who I think have dreamt of being a New York Yankee. And we know, by the way,
so did Patrick Corbin.
Yeah, and so did Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper, like, so we had a lot of fun with that clip where he said Robinson Cano was his favorite player growing up, right? So we had a lot of fun with that clip. If you kept listening to that video, he talked about other guys. You know what the other guys he mentioned? Paul O'Neill, Tino Martinez,
sure,
Derek Jeter, Jorge Posada. All these guys he talked about because he was a huge Yankees fan growing up.
Yeah.
So certain guys like that would absolutely love to be a Yankee. But then there's a point where you become an adult and you're looking at a business decision. You say, all right, do I want to follow the childhood dream like John Tavares did, where he posts a picture of him in his Toronto Maple Leafs pajamas? Or do you take the best offer that's out there for you? So, you know, I do think that the Yankees are probably up against it if they're not going to go the amount of years and money that these other places do. Because you're right, the White Sox and the Phillies seem extra motivated to make these things happen. And that's what I believe will happen. At this point, I feel more strong about the Phillies getting Machado and the White Sox getting Harper because they're going to go that extra mile, because right now they're just hyper-focused on making that happen.
And I've heard a lot of people say, you know, listening to the radio station, I don't go to the Phillies. Phillies are a good baseball team, and Manny Machado might put them over the top. I mean, it's not like Philadelphia is, you know, the San Diego Padres who, you know, they struggle to win 70 games. The Phillies made big strides last year. We had a lot of fun with Gabe Kapler early on, made a lot of mistakes in those first couple of months as manager, but seems like he really got things turned around. I know they faded down the stretch, but you bring in a guy like Machado now with that young pitching. They've got a good lineup. The Phillies, to me, are very much in play. Listen, the White Sox, if they offer him the most money, he could end up there too. But I wouldn't be stunned. If you ask me for a favorite right now, I'd say the Phillies are land Machado.
Yeah, I mean, it does seem like that. And I guess the White Sox are the favorite for Bryce Harper, which is just crazy how they emerged. And that's...
Which, by the way, brings it all back to it's a bunch of crap when they say it's not about the money, because you can go back to the Nationals. If Washington was so important to you, and I believe Bryce Harper was quoted one time saying he'd like to be a one-team player, $300 million over 10 years.
Yeah.
How much do you need? And I know we're not sitting here in that position. I understand that. But good Lord, it's $30 million a year. What else are you looking for?
Well, I bet you if you get these guys one-on-one, they'll tell you one thing. But there's also this agent deal where Scott Boras has to get every single
penny.
But
they work for the player.
I know, but these guys are very influential. There's also the pressure from the rest of the players, especially after last offseason.
But you don't think if he accepted the offer from the Nationals, you think he's getting flack for that because there's no opt-out?
If someone else would have offered him more money, and he didn't at least go out there and test the market to see what he could get. Now,
I'm happy, and they offered me the earth, the moon, and the stars. I'm not going anywhere.
I know, I know what you're saying, but there is inner workings that go on here, especially after an offseason where people are crying collusion from the owners to not spend money on ball players. These guys feel the pressure from the Players Association, their peers, to go out there and get every last cent.
Hey, listen, $30 million a year for a guy who had a, for him, an average season last year. He should have been thanking his lucky stars that that offer was there.
Yeah, no, I know.
I mean, God, darn.
Listen, that is the rational, logical take. I do think, though, that once you get into this crazy offseason and Scott Boris is your agent, you're not taking that deal.
Generational talent.
You're not taking that deal.
How many World Series championships we have with that generational talent?
Yeah. None. Yeah, I know. I mean, that's a big problem, especially all the flameouts and the great regular seasons that they had.
And the horrendous postseasons. And I mean, what was it, the Cardinals? Remember that series? I mean, good Lord. Oh, terrible.
Yeah, I know. I'd still take him in a heartbeat because I think the guy is going to be, you know, especially for the first 5, 6, 7 years of that deal is going to be awesome. I really do believe that.
That was the year, too, if I remember correctly, when they blew the lead to the Cardinals. Wasn't that when they shut him down, too, and he wasn't even in that series? I got to go back and check that. I'm pretty sure that was the year where they, or was that Strasburg? No, it was Strasburg.
Yeah,
I'm Strasburg talking about
was,
actually,
and that was their first year that they were really good.
And that
good.
Was when they blew the series when they had an amazing regular season. Right. They shut Strasburg down, and it all went to hell. And the Cardinals, I think, went on to win the World Series that year.
That might have been 2010. That's how long ago that was.
We still think of Bryce Harper as his kid, and that's like 8 years ago.
Yeah, no, I know. That's what happens when you're in the big leagues at 18. So, you know, people will say, don't let Manny Machado leave the building today. If you're the Yankees, he's gonna leave the building because he wants to go talk to the Phillies. I mean, that's the thing.
Unless he hears what he wants to hear. You never know.
See, I would be very surprised if all of a sudden...
But hold on, we just discussed how he wants to be, loves the Yankees, right? Maybe it's a dream of his to be a Yankee. If the Yankees offered him the 9-10 year deal, why would you leave?
I'll tell you why.
To get another $8 million over the span of 10 years?
Yeah, I mean, this is.
That goes back to my point. Stupid.
I agree with you that that's what we would do in that spot, but that's not how these guys operate.
See, then this is how I would operate if I'm the Yankees. We're the Yankees. Here's the offer. You don't accept it, offer's taken away.
Well, that's sort of what happened with Corbin in a roundabout way, right?
I guess they never formally put the offer out there, but probably discussed it.
Yeah, basically because they knew that his market was growing and growing, and he was out of their comfort range. And they basically said, all right, if that's what it's going to be, then get the hell out of here. I mean, if the Yankees aren't that important to you, but that stuff can end up hurting you in the long run.
In what way?
I mean, just because, like, we're the Yankees, and if you don't take our deal because we're the Yankees, then you can go screw. Like, well, I mean, if you really want a player.
Not if it's a big deal, though. Like, I think if you have that take, like, listen, we're the Yankees. We're not going to give you as much as the White Sox because we're the Yankees. I agree with you from that standpoint. But if you blow him away with an offer and he's like, I got to think about it and go see Philadelphia. That to me is different. Like, you know what? Go see Philly. Enjoy Philadelphia. Enjoy this cheesesteaks. We're done.
Yeah, there's certain guys, though, that if you want that guy and he's as good as Manny Machado is, just go and get him.
I agree.
I mean, that, like, it shouldn't be. Patrick Corbin, I get. We like Patrick Corbin here at this number. We don't like him here. Mm-hmm. Manny Machado, if you like Manny Machado, you're going to like him at just about any number if you're the Yankees, which is one of the most profitable businesses in sports, if not the most profitable. Profitable in sports. So, I mean, if you want him, then beat the Phillies for him. Then beat the White Sox for him. This is what this is all about, right? You're supposed to flex your muscles in the face of your competitors.
It's going to be a fun few weeks.
Yeah, let's hope.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.